All right, glad you're here tonight. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for the opportunity for us to gather together as a community. We pray that you'll put your blessing upon this night and all that we do. We thank you for our school and for our staff and for our teachers. And we pray that you'll continue to guide them and have your hand upon the work that's carried forth here each and every day. We love you, and again, we pray for your blessing upon tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lorraine?
All right, well, let me just first of all say thank you so much for being here. I know during this time of the year it is so busy, and you have so many things competing for your attention, kids' activities, just getting home from work, getting home, getting the kids fed, and all of that. So thank you for making time. We appreciate it. It's our opportunity to kind of just give you an update on Covenant's programming, its leadership governance, and just tuition update and things of that nature. So in terms of what we're covering today, our agenda is really, I'm going to give you an update on our classical programming, just changes, main changes for this year. We have someone who's going to come and share a little bit of her journey and through Covenant and NCA and what she's doing today. And I think that's a great opportunity for us to hear from one of our alums. Then we'll talk about tuition, and we'll end with the board just talking about leadership and governance. So to get started, just a reminder, Covenant's mission is to holistically develop our students. So their mind, their body, their spirit, and their heart. And that's really important because all of our programming stems from our mission statement. Because we want to holistically develop students, we look in terms of how do we develop their minds academically, their bodies, through athletics, and then spiritually, their formation and foundation that they will need. So the biggest thing for us this year is we are up for reaccreditation. So just to give you a little bit of an understanding of that, our governing body is ACSI. It's the Association of Christian Schools International. Every 4 to 5 years, they come in and they reaccredit a school. That makes sure they look at all the policies, the procedures, they talk to faculty, staff, parents. And I kind of gave you an idea of the standards they look at. Everything from philosophy, governance, to HR, student care. They even come in, they look at our salaries, they look at are we in compliance with laws. It will probably, in terms of school time, probably be anywhere in the range of 600 hours we will have spent on accreditation. It is thorough. Each standard probably has anywhere from 5 to 20 indicators. One indicator, for instance, may be, do you evaluate your teachers? And the answer is yes, but then you have to prove it. So we have to show a schedule of where teachers are evaluated, what a sample evaluation looks like, what happens if a teacher is found where they need improvement. So we have a performance improvement plan, all of that stuff. And that's just one indicator. Different administrators took over different standards. So I had standard 2, and I think for our 12 or 13 items, indicators, we had something like 40 documents we had to upload. Just so it's completely thorough, but it's a great opportunity for us at a school to look deeply into what we do. What do we do well? And what do we need to improve on, right? And then create a plan. What do we want to accomplish next year to improve us? And then 2 to 4 years down the road. So it's terrific. But in terms of our time, if you hear us talking about accreditation, there is a committee that will come in. They will come in and April, and they will probably talk to our faculty. They will pull students from classrooms, ask them about their experience at Covenant. They might pull parents as well. As that gets closer, we'll provide you more information on that. In terms of our academics, I thought we'd just do a couple of just fast facts for you. Student-teacher ratio at Covenant this year has been 9-1. Our retention was 90%, and 38% of our faculty have advanced degrees. And I will say, this presentation will all be emailed out tomorrow. We will also have the audio, because I know not everyone could attend tonight. So if you end up, especially when we get to the tuition rates, you don't have to take pictures. We will email everything. I know one of the questions that I often get is on how our college kids are doing, or high schoolers going into college. So we did put a couple of fast facts up there for you. Over the last couple of years, our students have gotten in $3.5 million in scholarships. That's about an average of $93,000 a student. They have attended anywhere over 110 colleges, ranging from some of your select schools to A&M and UT, which, not meaning A&M's not a select school, because I know for several of our students it is. But just a wide range, just, you know, whatever. Yeah, some people are laughing. Okay. I went to A&M, just so you know. But it's a great, we just have a great body in terms of where they want to go in different places. And then last year's class, their average SAT score was 1255. And then the top 25%, which was, I think, four students, was a 1445. So just a couple of fast facts. We also just found out in the last day or two, and I think Dr. Nev's going to email, that 21 of our students advanced to area math competition. So that's pretty exciting. So little by little, we're moving along and just solid academically. The next area is athletics, and I just put some fun facts up there for you. This year's volleyball team were area champs, and then I've realized that every year when we do State of School in January, I miss all of the spring athletics, so I put in last year's. So last year's girls basketball were undefeated district champs. Last year we had several students go to state in track. We had one who actually placed twice, and then we had several students who went to state in tennis also, eight students. They didn't place, but they still made it through district, and we actually have a great middle school team coming up in tennis, and we're hoping that in the next few years some of those students will place. And then in cross country this fall, Hannah went to state and placed in state. So, and then we have the third part. Again, we're developing our students holistically, mind, body, spirit, heart, and spiritually. And that is seen in our curriculum. It's seen in our Christian worldview as we teach subjects. This year, we also added mentoring groups for our middle schoolers and high schoolers because our teens are just facing a lot of challenges out there, and they just need that extra encouragement coming from a teacher, someone who will walk with them, who they can share more personal things with, ask questions to. We also want to just partner a little bit more with our parents in this area, and just when we hit the teen years, I think probably the biggest thing that has hit us recently is what I will call technology, which is an amazing blessing, but not used well, it can be just a horrible experience. So we have parents that I know are very diligent in terms of checking their students' cell phones. They'll check them. Some of them don't realize there are apps that hide apps. So if you have a student who has apps, there's an app that actually will hide apps, and those other apps are not good. Right? Just there's things like that. There's spoof texting. There are certain apps, too, that human traffickers use more than other apps. So we are working with HPD to have them come in for two or three sessions just to give a better, more rounded education on what you can do as parents in terms of technology, because it's changing at such a fast rate, and sometimes it's hard for us to keep up with, and we might think we're doing a terrific job and just not realize there's all these other areas out there. So that kind of gives you a little bit of an overview on our academic and athletic and spiritual programming. And I debated whether we should just go deeper on some of that or instead have an alum come speak. So the latter one. So we have with us today Andrea White, and she's class of 2011. So I'll kind of let her just come and share a little bit about her story.
Thank you. I'm glad you put up there that I was class of 2011. My mom and I just had a slight debate. I was right. I know the year I graduated. As Lauren said, my name's Andrea White, and I graduated from Covenant in 2011, immediately went to undergrad. After undergrad, I went to law school, and after graduating and passing the bar, I've been practicing as an attorney for about a year and a few months now. I'm going to just talk a little bit about my experience at, I guess I'm the NCA/Covenant crowd, but I'll just stick with Covenant, at Covenant. But before I begin, I just want you all to think about just the concept as I'm talking, and just the concept of a good education or a good school. And if I had people call it out or raise hands, I'm sure that you would give examples that are both real and fictional, thinking about places like Cambridge, Vanderbilt, or even Hogwarts. Some of you like think of that when you think of a good education. You also might think of an experience if you weren't privileged to go to a good school all around, and you might think of a very inspirational elementary school teacher, or that middle school teacher who noticed you, saw you, or that high school teacher who taught you a very difficult subject that you didn't think you could grasp and just opened your mind to that possibility. I'm privileged enough to say that when I think of a good school, I think of my time at Covenant and NCA. I started in middle school and graduated in high school with that lovely group of people, and it was an all-around great experience. But a few things that really stand out to me about it and the reason why it was a good experience are just those concepts of a great community, amazing teachers, and just everyone from staff to students to other parents of other students who just really wanted me to succeed and wanted everyone around them to succeed, which I think is very special and not very common in our world today. As a community that is supporting you in multifaceted ways. Especially the thing that was helpful education-wise was in my later years I did the rhetoric program. I believe we were the first or second year. It was still an optional class. I'm not sure if it's optional now. But that really influenced my research, my writing, and my communication skills. Skills that I took into undergrad and law school, and even now, I think back to those foundational skills that I learned. It was a really cool experience to take a group of seniors in high school who could be getting burnt out and not interested at all, and to give them a topic and the same set of skills, and then they come back with such vastly different array of knowledge and learning that they share with each other, they share with teachers. I remember I worked with a couple of different teachers, and I brought them my research. And they're like, oh, I didn't know that. That's so cool. And it was just very exciting, and it made me realize, this is why I want to go to undergrad. I want to do this with other peers my age. I want to do this with other teachers. And it was just really encouraging. And then the other thing that was helpful was the Harkness Method. I experienced that for a couple years. Led me straight into my discussion-based classes in undergrad with English and history, and took a lot of the fear out of the Socratic method in law school. I went in with a little bit more confidence than some of my peers when I was called on randomly to answer questions about my reading. So that was really great. And then I was able to participate in a lot of sports that I normally wouldn't have. I was Coach Ryan's worst softball player that he ever experienced. So much so that he was like trying to teach me any basic skill every time I showed up, but he was just very happy that I was there. He told me I was his favorite softball player tonight, but I'm not sure if that's true. It's just because I showed up. But just in many ways, the staff is wonderful and lovely. Everyone from the front desk person to the lunch lady just cared about my well-being and my peers' well-being. So I only have good things to say. It was such a privilege to come here to learn and grow and to belong to a great community. And I'm going to save some time to answer some questions. I don't know if you'll have any questions, but staff and teachers, you guys know I think you're incredible, but I also just want to say something to parents. Like those concepts of great schooling and great education, you can hold that concept of great parenting in your mind or good parenting. And I know that with everything that Lorraine was mentioning, I mean, technology is terrifying. All of those, there's so many anxieties that weigh on you as a teacher. And I know that education's a big one of those. And I think you are making the right step by being here. You're all showing that you're good parents. You're showing up. You're invested in your child's education. You're placing them in an environment that's both caring and challenging. And it's going to send them out into the world as people who are going to be leaders, whether they go to undergrad, whether they raise families, whatever they do. They are getting a great foundation, and you're making a great choice. So if you have any questions, I'll take them now. And I will also be available afterwards to talk.
Thank you. All right, well, thank you. I mean, we just thought it would be so great from you to be able to hear from someone who's been through the process, because we know that not all of you are in upper school or know people. I say upper school because a lot of upper school students know people who've graduated. They know what college has been like. They understand the transition. But not all of you have access to some of those. And so it's great to just hear somebody else speak. And so as Ms. White mentioned, she will be there to answer some questions if you have after, if you didn't want to ask in this session. So with that, we will move on to our next fun topic, which is, tuition. Yes, tuition. And it's probably if I polled you, I think 99% of you would say I'm just here for that. But, right? But as we go through tuition, we usually first just do a slide to kind of show our budget, because just to be transparent, where we spend your money, because you do spend a lot on tuition. And every year, salaries will range in the range of 70 to 75%. That's pretty consistent every single year. One year it may be 75, the next year maybe 72, but it's somewhere in that range. And then you have an idea of where else we spend our money. It's on curriculum building. As a school, we are pretty lean. Just because we're smaller and we want to be lean, because otherwise it increases our tuition unnecessarily. So I do want to say, when it comes to our salaries, I know our salaries are a pretty big percentage of our budget, but just as a reminder, our teachers actually make less than public school teachers, and so do our staff, and it's usually about 20 to 25%. So when they work here, they work here just because they love your students, and they love that they can instill truth in them, and they're passionate about it, and they're willing to take a salary cut. From an administrative perspective, we tried to balance their love for teaching with tuition costs. We try not to raise tuition, but we also can understand that some of our faculty do need salaries to support families. So with that said, this year's tuition is a 3.5% increase. Again, we're balancing our staff with curriculum, with your understanding that our tuition can cost. I understand that. We have three kids. We have paid for that for years, and it's hard. It can be a hard on a family. The other thing we're doing this year, we're also offering a pre-K program that's 3 days a week. We did it through a trial this year in our pre-K, because what we're finding is some of our parents who have had their children at home for years are not quite ready to do a five-day program. They really want a three-day program. So we've also added that as an option. I know our tuition rates, and again, I'm going to email this all out, the whole presentation. Tuition rates can be startling sometimes and expensive. Know that the board is also committed to financial aid and to making Christian education as affordable as it can be given our cost structure. So financial aid, just as a reminder, at our school is confidential. No one knows if you're on financial aid. We have a committee. It's three people with Sue Rush in there, because she's in our business office. If you ever need financial aid, you are always welcome to email her, and she will work through that whole process with you and then talk to the committee members. In fact, I don't even think our staff know who the committee members are on the financial aid committee, because it's so confidential and it's kept that way. The last thing on the tuition, just a reminder for our new parents, we have continuous enrollment, re-enrollment, so you don't actually have to sign up to enroll your child for the next year. They are automatically re-enrolled unless you tell us. So all your forms are kept online, they're kept on file. The date this year is usually a month after state of school, so February 15th, if you are not planning to re-enroll your kids, just let us know, and again, you can let the business office know, or you can let Sherry Tomiello know, and she will withdraw you for next year. Otherwise, come February 28th, Smart Tuition will automatically withdraw the commitment fee. So with that said, we will move on now, Well, let me say this. If you do have questions on tuition, you can see me. I will be here after we adjourn. You're welcome to come ask me privately. If you want more information on financial aid, I can share that with you, or you can talk to Sue Rush. So with that said, we will move on to leadership and governance, which is John Dean.
Good evening, everybody. Did Mrs. Hill do a great job this evening? As she said, my name is Sean Dean. I'm your board chair for the 2019-2020 academic year. First, I want to thank everyone for coming out tonight. This is our state of school address, and we know there's a lot of things going on in people's lives, and we just want to say thank you for coming out. Thank you for spending time. Thank you not just for tonight, but the time and everything you invest in Covenant making a success. So tonight, before we give our board update, I do want to start with just kind of talking about my personal journey to Covenant, our family's journey. We started here many years ago. Our son Tyler was going into pre-K, and we weren't sure what we were going to do with him, which school we wanted. We looked around, and we felt like this was the best option for him. And we said, hey, we'll try, at that time it was NCA, we'll try NCA for 1 year, see how we like it. And after pre-K, it was so great. We had a great experience. We said, you know what, let's do this one more year and see how it goes. And we liked that. The next year, I'm looking in the back, I see a couple of Tyler's teachers in the back of the room, and they are part of what made the Covenant experience great for our family, and it's why Tyler, 13 years later, is an 11th grader and will be graduating next academic year. My wife and I also have a third grader here, but that's been our experience at Covenant. So for our board update, there's four things I want to talk about tonight. First of all, who we are as a board, what we do, what our priorities are, and ultimately why we do it, and why hopefully why you do it. So first is going to be our board members. I'm going to start from right to left with our newest member to our longest tenured member. First is Miss Angela Rundle. She and her husband have one child here at the school. Angela, you want to wave at everybody? There she is. So Angela has a background in education. She also has a tutoring business, and she provides a really great perspective for the board in the educational skill set that in the board, and she does a great job. Mr. Jeff Rogers, there he is, did a great job praying. Thank you, Jeff. And Jeff has a background in transportation. He owns first-class tours. Him and his wife have one child here at the school, and they've been longtime supporters of the school and have really helped us out in a variety of areas. Next, we have Mr. Kyle Lipstrew. Kyle has a background in technology and consulting. He and his wife have three children here at Covenant. And for Kyle's skill set, aside from his own personal background that he brings and professional background, in his consulting role, Kyle works with some of the largest companies in the world. And so we get that experience here at Covenant. We get the policies, procedures, the strategies. How are companies who have been doing it a long time? So Kyle brings that skill set to the board. The only board member we don't have in attendance tonight is Mr. Alex Ahabian. His wife, Catherine, is here. They have two children here at Covenant. She'll wave on his behalf. Alex, I texted him on yesterday. He endured a 21-hour flight to Malaysia for business, so he couldn't be here tonight. But Alex is Vice President of Health and Safety at Hess and currently serves as our board secretary. Next, we have Mr. Robert White. There he is. Robert and his wife have three graduates, not children, but they have three graduates of NCA Covenant and have been longtime supporters of the school. Robert has a wealth management firm here in Kingwood, and Robert also currently serves as our vice chair. And lastly, my name is Sean Dean. I have a background in construction, finance, and accounting. I'm also CEO of a construction firm. So now we have two children here at Covenant. So that is our board. This is who we are. Next, I'll go to what we do. So there's four hats that we wear as board members. For us as board members, it's important for us to know what we do, but also important for us to know what we don't do. So I'll go through these different hats that we wear. Some of these we wear with many of you. So the first, obviously, is the parent hat for most of us, either parent, former parent, whatever the case may be. But, you know, that is supporting our own children, supporting our friends, just being there, the usual thing you think of for each of you as parents. That also means, for me as a parent, being a supporter of the school. There's different ways to support the school. The most important one is prayer. Our school needs a lot of prayer. Every organization, Christian organization, needs a lot of prayer. And as the thing I could ask more than anything else is we encourage your prayers here at Covenant because they do make a difference. Second thing you can do as a parent and supporter is be an attendant. Show up for events, even your children's, but also not your children's. For anyone who missed the Christmas Play This program, we had a live camel. And to paraphrase Mrs. Goodwin, it was awesome. So if you were there, you saw the camel, and I don't think we had any camel-related casualties or any problems, accidents with the camel, but it was a great time. We also have a lot of things going on in athletics. So our volleyball team made it to the regional championship this year. Our basketball team, boys and girls varsity, is ranked in the top 10 in the state in TAPS 1A. So there's a lot going on here at Covenant. We also have performing arts. We've done plays such as The Hiding Place, Romeo and Juliet. When you see these things on the calendar, even if you're in lower school and your child's not participating, I'd encourage you to come out and see it. And it's a lot of fun to watch. It can be comical, can be entertaining, but it's really talented to see these talented kids, the work they put in, what they do, how much they work at it, and it's just a really good time. And the last thing I would say for supporting the school is financial. So whether you choose to contribute to just an unspecified donation, the capital campaign, whatever the case may be, we encourage your financial support and we appreciate it. So that's the parent hat. Next, we'll switch to the volunteer hat. This is another one we share with a lot of you. It's our volunteer hat. This is for us as board members. It's generally in a limited scope role, usually advising the head of school on a topic, often on a committee. One example I'll give is Jeff. Jeff has a background with logistics, so when we talk about, hey, we need a new school bus, or this other one, you know, needs some repairs, Jeff has been a longtime asset for the school, and he's been able to help in that volunteer role for the school. The third one is our implementer role. So this is when we as a board members serve on committees, again, usually limited scope in our role there, but it's usually alongside other parents, finance committee, building committee, other committees we have. So that's our third one. And the fourth one that y'all are probably most familiar with is our as a governance provider. So a lot of people don't realize this about board membership, but all the board members here, we have no authority except when we're at a meeting that's been called and we're in quorum. Beyond that, we have no authority whatsoever. You know, we're the same as you. But when we're in quorum, that's when we have the authority invested in us to conduct the affairs of the school. So the officers are given authority to conduct the business throughout the month, signatures, agendas, things like that. But those are the four hats we wear as board members. So that's what we do. Moving on to our priorities. So priorities, the three priorities, these are the same ones that we've had for the last few years here at the State of the School. And I just want to kind of talk about how they apply to the current year and what we have going on, what we have coming up here at Covenant. So the first one is to support Covenant's leadership. So this is our board governance structure from an accountability standpoint. So accountability rolls up to the Board of Trustees, but we use the John Carver governance model. It's one that's used by most boards, profit and nonprofit. And in this role, the board hires one employee. The board doesn't have 50-plus employees. We have one employee, and that's our head of school. She's our CEO, and we hold her accountable, and everything else below that flows through her. So the board doesn't go around the CEO to the staff, nor does the staff go around the CEO to the board. And this is one that ensures that things are handled at the appropriate level. So if you have a question and it's not at the right level, oftentimes we'll redirect it so we can get you an answer that's the most direct, gets you the most correct answer. So if you have a concern, so that is our structure. That is how we support our leadership and our staff. So the next thing is ensuring that Covenant's financially sound. So on the board, you'll see these are things we do at our board meetings. On the finance side, we go over cash flow, we go over income statements, we go over balance sheet, we do our annual budgets, we compare our budgets to actuals on a monthly basis, we do our tuition rates, all that, but you can see the various things we do. Over on the right is our annual board items. So as a board, we have a calendar that we follow. We don't want to load three items that take 3 hours each on the board calendar, nor for us, nor for Mrs. Hill in preparation for it. So whether it's marketing, whether it's insurance review, whatever the case may be, we have a rhythm that we go throughout the year, and we make sure those things are handled in a systemic way and one that ensures the most effective success, both for us and for the whole school community. So, and the last thing I want to talk about is our Covenant Campus project. So as we talked about last year, we have two properties. We have the northern tract you see there in red. We have the lower tract, southern property in blue. As we said last year, we put the northern tract up for sale. It is up for sale. We do have a contract on it, I'm happy to report, and it will be getting sold within the next 90 days. We're scheduled to close. Doing this will allow us to retire all debt on our non-income producing properties. So this debt on this land has been supported through the capital campaign, but by doing this, we're able to not only pay off the northern tract, but the southern tract will still be ours with no debt associated with it. So we're happy to report that. It will also allow us to realize a return on our investment in that property to fund future campus development, and we'll also be able to invest in our capital expenditures on our existing facilities, because in the process of transitioning to a different campus, we want to make sure that what we have is nice. And I think we've seen a lot of improvements over the last 2 years, and we have a lot of volunteers who've worked really hard at making sure our campuses are beautiful. And the last thing here is we have engaged a parent committee. So once this land sells, that committee will move forward to the next step. They've been meeting. They've been talking about different options, how we can proceed. These are real estate professionals, business professionals, construction professionals who all come together, and they talk about how best to move the school forward in these meetings. It's exciting to hear things that, you know, if you're not familiar with construction or real estate or whatever, things that these guys bring to the table and things you wouldn't think about, but things that can really save the school money. So that is our priorities, how we do them. So I skipped one. Nope, I didn't. So we talked about who we are, what we do, how we do it. Most importantly, why do we do it? Why are we all here? And before I turn it over to Mrs. Hill, I want to talk about our senior rhetoric. Ms. White mentioned the rhetoric project. And if you haven't had a chance to come out and see our students, what does the Covenant student look like? What does a Covenant graduate look like? What does a Covenant senior look like? Investing here at Covenant in tuition and everything else, this is a sacrifice for everyone. We all recognize that. But it's one worth making, and it's one when you see the end product, what does that look like? And that when I come to Covenant, when I talk to our seniors, that's what excites me. I was talking to one of our parents 2 weeks ago, and he said he wasn't at Covenant. He came here as a contractor to work on something at the school. and he talked to some of our students. He said they looked him in the eye, shook him in the hand. He had a very high-level conversation with them. And he said, that's the kind of student I want my daughter to be like. And they enrolled in Covenant. They're here today because of our students sold him on our school. But I encourage you all to come out to Senior Rhetoric. Some of the topics we tackled last year ranged from immigration reform, physician-assisted suicide, social justice, drug testing, welfare recipients, to name a few. I mentioned those because when I saw the list, I said, wow, these are some things that are politically sensitive, socially charged, whatever you want to call it. Wow, these are big things that to wrestle with, right? But then I thought, don't we want that from our students? Don't we want the Christian leaders, the students who have been given the Christian worldview, don't we want them going out in the world and being the leaders, being the ones who are tackling these problems, not sitting on the sidelines? And if you come to the Rhetoric Project, you'll see them stand up here. They'll give a professional presentation, answer their questions. And when I look at these students, I see someone who's standing in front of a department, standing in front of a company of Marines, someone who's standing behind a pulpit, someone who is a leader in their community. And that is what excites me about Covenant and why we have our children here at Covenant. So with that, I'll turn it back over to Mrs. Hill.
So on that note, I really wasn't going to say this, but I am now because Sean just was passionate about our students. So because I know several of you have asked, so we had two seniors last year that graduate. We have twins, and they were off to college this year, and several of you have asked me one-on-one, what has that been like, right? Because I know you fairly well, and I have to say it has been a great experience for us because of just the way they've been have come through Covenant. Like academically, I mean, it's college, so it's definitely going to be harder. But like one of them actually turned to me, and they're at A&M. They're both in the honors engineering program. One's a computer science major. One's a mechanical engineer major. But so they have to take calculus, like engineering calculus. They said to me that they thought engineering calculus was easy. And I was like, what? And that's really a tribute to our AP calculus class here, which is Terry Simpson. And if you have her, you know she's tough, right? But it's not just Miss Simpson, it's all of our teachers, basically from pre-K through 12th grade, who have taught our students what they need to learn at every grade. So as they move on to the next grade, they've instilled those truths that just continue to grow and flourish. So academically, they've transitioned well. Spiritually, I know I've talked to some of you because you've asked, well, you know, they're in college. What's that been like? So our twins are super close, but we did not let them be roommates with each other because they're so close. We wanted them not to just hang out with each other, but to make friends. So they got very different roommates. So one of them, his roommate was a strong vocal atheist. The other one was a... So he was Catholic, but with some Protestant beliefs, but then recently converted to Greek Orthodox. Fascinating journey for both of them. So both of them inundated with questions. So like some of them on the atheist, so Josh had the atheist who was like, you know, they were talking about the Ten Commandments. And he was like, yeah, I could see some of them, like it's wrong to murder. But why is it wrong to covet? Why is it wrong to steal? Or not steal, lie. Right, so very fascinating discussions. And then the other one had discussions completely different, like, you know, when Jesus was on the cross, he said, you know, Father, how can you forsake me? And much more theological, right, because he's the Catholic, the Protestant, and the Greek Orthodox. He's like, how can God forsake himself? Anyways, these discussions they had, and I don't even know, right, because they're at college, and I might talk to them a couple of times, and they're telling me. But, I mean, our program and our programming here creates in them the ability to know truth, to speak truth, but to be gracious with truth, right? So like for both of them, they've got strong relationships with their roommates, but they don't always agree on stuff. And so it's been a good transition. So I share that just because Sean was talking about, you know, rhetoric is really one of our capstones because it helps our students to articulate those thoughts because then they're in college. And, you know, I mean, for me, the hardest transition was I'm used to seeing them every day, and I better not cry. And so, you know, then it's like at A&M, they do it really well. They ask students, how often do you want to talk to your parents in a week? And parents, how often do you want to talk to your students? And, like, the two don't always agree, right? You have parents who are like, I want to talk to my child every day, and the kids are like 3 to 5 times a week, and that includes texts, so like a text, right? Like, they don't, you know, how many times do you want to come, how many times do you want your parents to visit? Parents are like, every month we want to come visit. The students are like, maybe once a quarter, semester. So, but it's good, and it gives you such comfort knowing that we've given them the tools to be where they are. So, I really wasn't going to share any of that, but then Sean did. And so I really wanted to share that we have covenant yard signs created out there. So on your way out, take them. We have really been trying to share and get Covenant's name out in the community more, just as a marketing mechanism. There are two big marketing ways most classical schools, most Christian schools use. One is parents. Parents are our biggest marketer, and the second is the website. So on the parent side, I just ask you, I think we have an open house for lower school in the next week or two. When you see it on Facebook, please just share it and tell your friends about it. We would also love to get into some churches and just have a table that shares about Covenant. If you would be willing to go to your church pastor and ask if Covenant could have a table after a service, we would appreciate that. Just let me know. The second thing is the website. So we are currently redesigning our website. We're supposed to get to preview it at the end of this month. So in the next couple of months, just know that that's coming out. It's something that should be a little bit more user-friendly for our existing parents and for prospective parents. So with that said, I just ask you on your way out to take your covenant marketing sign. Covenant. Yes. Because I think it'll be super fun to figure out, like, who's in the neighborhoods. Like, you probably have covenant families in your neighborhood that you don't know about. Because I know, like, a couple of months ago, one of our lower school students, because I'm at the lower school, and I won't say what student, but I mean, like, this high, okay, comes up to me, and he's like, "Miss Hill, I know where you live." And I was like, yeah, okay, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but he's such a cute student, so I'm like, okay. And I kind of just was like, oh, maybe he's seen me in passing, because he's little, and sometimes, you know. And then I realized he's literally one street over from me, so he does know where I live. But I'm telling you, once those signs go up, we'll all know where everyone lives, but maybe that's not a good thing. But anyways, again, I just want to thank you for coming out tonight. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedules to be here so we can just provide you a little bit more information. And again, if you have any questions, the board, Miss White, and I will all be up here to answer your questions. Thank you. Y'all have a good night.